The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our third webinar in our latest edition of the Esoteric Astrology series. Eva is going to start you out today, and then I will take over from her. I think most of you know the protocols that we've got. Most of you should be on this one. Here's your little microphone right down here. We're going to keep you on mute unless you raise your hand. Your mic is red with a line through it when you're muted. It will be green when your mic is open. The hand, it goes in the direction that's available to you. So a green up arrow means that your hand is down and you have the opportunity to put it up. A red down arrow means that your hand is up and you have the opportunity to put it down. Okay, so let's start. I see a question here. Okay. Thank you, Esha. All right. Let me turn it over to you, Eva.
Okay, show my screen. Can you see my screen?
Yeah, we can see your screen, but we can also see your notes.
I know. That's going to disappear as soon as I hit the right thing here.
Ah, okay.
There we go. Hello, everybody, and welcome. So what I thought we would do today, before I actually go into discussing Capricorn, is I wanted to revisit a little bit about the veiling planets and give you a little bit more than what I originally did. So let me start off by saying that the word veil is much like a veil that a bride wears that kind of hides the face. So a veil in astrology hides a planet that could be standing behind either the sun or the moon. Those are the two that we call them planets, but we know in fact that they are not planets. The sun is the solar god, so there's no way he or she is a planet. In fact, he or she gives life to all the planets. So to put a solar being in the place of a planet is really diminishing who he or she is. And yet we do. And we do the same thing with the moon. And the moon has no life in it. It's a dead body. So we have characteristics associated with both the sun and the moon, but really they stand in for a planet that's hidden behind them. It's not really literally hidden behind them. It's just a mask for a planet that we would consider in its place. So where do we see the sun and the moon? Primarily, the signs that we see that in, that we're only covering the exoteric and the esoteric planets. We're not going into the hierarchical because there are more if we look at the hierarchical. But exoterically, the moon is the exoteric ruler of Cancer, which we talked a little bit about last time. When either the sun and the moon is in the exoteric, which is the ordinary or dignified ruler of a sign, all we do is consider the characteristics associated with either the moon or the sun. So that's a given and that's an easy thing. Where it gets a little bit more complicated is if, in fact, the sun or the moon is in an esoteric place. And where would it be in an esoteric place? If we look at Virgo, Virgo's exoteric or ordinary ruler is Mercury. Its esoteric ruler is the moon. So first thing we would do is, yeah, what are the characteristics of if you find that your moon is in Virgo? And you would look at those characteristics and all the things that we've talked about, what the moon represents, the past, you know, your habitual patterns, etc., etc. But then you would look to see what are the two planets it could be veiling. And this is where it is utmost important to know roughly who you are dealing with. Where is this person at in their point of evolution? Is this person already on the reversed wheel? Is this person an aspirant or a disciple? What kind of circumstances does this person find himself? And that's why you would either choose Vulcan or Neptune. If you chose Vulcan as the esoteric ruler of Virgo, you would look to see where Vulcan is. Vulcan is always within 8 degrees on either sun, either side of the sun. So if the sun finds itself, let's say, in Sagittarius, you know that Vulcan is within 8 degrees of one side of it or within 8 degrees of the other side. So you would again look to see, is it possible for it to have gone into another sign? It depends on the degree of that Sagittarius sun. If that Sagittarius sun is at 27 degrees of Sagittarius, it's possible that Vulcan is within the 8 degrees in Sagittarius, but it's possible also that it's moved into Capricorn. These are all things that we'll be discussing more with you as we start to move through the chart. So then you would then apply the Vulcanian characteristics within the sign that it finds itself in. The example I gave was Sagittarius. And then you would look to see what house it's in. And then to see if that particular Vulcan is doing any relationships with other planets. That means aspects. So that's looking at Vulcan. If Vulcan, you do not think is the ruler for that particular person or yourself, you would then substitute Neptune in its place and go through the same procedure with Neptune. Where is Neptune in the chart? What sign is it in? What house is it in? And what is its relationship to other planets? And then that would give you an idea of the veiling planet for Virgo. Now we go to Leo. Leo has the sun as its ruler in all two and even three. It's the hierarchical ruler as well in all three placements. So it's the exoteric ruler, it's the esoteric ruler, it's also the hierarchical ruler. So how do we differentiate here? Remember what we said. When it's the exoteric ruler, we just look at the characteristics associated with the sun. So in other words, if you have your sun in Leo, you would look at, well, what is the sun in Leo like? Now, if you want to know the esoteric understanding of the sun in Leo, you would substitute Neptune for the sun. If we were to do hierarchical, we would go to Uranus, but Neptune is the esoteric ruler of the sun in Leo. So I think that gives us a slightly deeper understanding. And then, of course, you would do the same thing. You would look at the characteristics of the sun. But if you're looking at Neptune, you'd look at the characteristics of Neptune. Where is Neptune in your chart? What sign is it in? What house is it in? And what relationship or aspects is it creating with other important planets? Are there any questions on the veiling planets?
I don't see any.
Okay. See, every time I go back and forth, I lose this. Okay. So we're moving on now, and we're going to go into our 10th sign, which is Capricorn. DK says that it's the most difficult sign to talk about because it's the most mysterious of all 12 signs. It's the sign of the goat, and I don't know if you can see very well this picture here, the symbol. You do have a goat here, and the goat seeks sustenance in the most rocky and arid places in the world, which relates it to climbing mountains or the rocky crags close to mountains, hence, it has a relationship to the mineral kingdom. I think this picture depicts the rocky crag right here and what may be a mountaintop here. It's very good at climbing mountains, and you see it many times right on the ledge. If I move on to the next one, you can actually see in the bottom picture the goats on the mountains. It's also the sign of the crocodile, which lives half in the water and half on the land. And you see that with the sea goat depicted here, with a tail of a fish and the body of a goat. Spiritually, in other words, its highest level is that of the unicorn. Right here, you see the unicorn. So, in those three things that we just talked about, the goat, the sea goat, which is the crocodile version of it, and the unicorn, we have a complete picture of man with his feet on the earth, because it is an earth sign, Capricorn, running free and climbing to the heights of ambitions, because it can climb mountains, and so can the individual climb mountains to succeed and to fulfill its ambition, or it can have spiritual aspiration, which is still ambition, is it not? As a goat, he is a man, the earthly man, greedy, seeking after satisfaction of desire. Or, equally selfish, he is the aspirant, hunting for the satisfaction of his aspirations. And what are the aspirations? If we look at them spiritually, it is to evolve, it is to reach initiation, it is to reach the mountaintop. But aspiration could be in any field. You want to be a CEO, you want to be recognized for the achievements you have made. It matters not. Aspiration is still aspiration. In the early stages, man is a blend of desire, which is water, hence you saw the sea goat, and the animal nature, which is earth, and Capricorn is earth. More evolved, becomes then a blend of the soul and the form. And eventually, the unicorn is the triumphant initiate. He's known as the unicorn of God, with one horn out thrust like a single spear upon the brow, instead of the two horns of the scavenging goat. So that's basically Capricorn in a nutshell. Remember, it is earth, it is on the cardinal cross, and it is the 10th sign. Now, there was a time in previous cycles where there were only 10 signs to the zodiac. Now we live in a 12 sign zodiac, and we are told that it will eventually return back to 10 signs. So the number 10, as we know, is one of perfection and one of culmination. And in Capricorn, there is tremendous culmination as the disciple reaches the peak of perfection and undergoes initiation. It is the sign of initiation. It requires, as you all know, tremendous amount of discipline and work in order to reach the level of initiation. So let's look at its exoteric ruler, which is Saturn. And Saturn has rings around it, as you can see in this picture here, the rings around Saturn. And what do those rings actually represent? Well, rings confine, do they not? It's like a ring pass not. You cannot pass beyond the ring. And if you find yourself within a ring, I kind of envision it as being within a playpen, and a child cannot go beyond the playpen. Likewise, we as human beings are confined and limited within these rings. Why? So that we can learn whatever lessons we need to learn. And once we've learned the lessons, suddenly that ring expands a little bit, and we get hit by that same experience, crisis lesson in another form to see if we in fact got it. And the more we get it, the more these rings keep expanding. And so Saturn offers us opportunity to grow, to learn, to experience. So there was a time when Saturn was considered malefic or a negative, a heavy load. But in fact, Saturn is really the friend of the disciple. And when we see its characteristics, we're going to get to have a pretty good idea as to why. And that'll probably be on the next slide. But here are some more things that Saturn represents. It is known as Father Time. And that's why you have time here and time here. There is the old man, Father Time. It also has a lot to do with structure. Bony structure for the human being, but structure in all kinds of systems and in all kinds of work environment. It does give the idea of structure. Why? Because it conveys the seventh ray, which we know has a lot to do with structure and form. It conveys the third ray, which is about cycles and hence time. And it conveys the first ray, which is will and power. And that's why we see the law here. You see, it's first ray types that actually create the law. Seventh ray types carry out the law, but first ray types create the law. Both these energies are all within Saturn, are all within Capricorn, sorry. Saturn is only third ray. Capricorn is 1, 3, and 7. I hope I've clarified my little error there. So Saturn is known as the Lord of Karma, also the Master of Time. And here you have some of the characteristics associated with Saturn. The ability to organize because of its power upon the physical plane. Responsibility. And so anyone that has a strong Saturn, boy, do they know how to take on responsibility and how to carry it out. Discipline, protection, boundaries because of the rings around there. It creates limitations and boundaries and timing and productivity. So here we see again the sea goat. And there's some more things here to look at. So Saturn, as we said, is the exoteric ruler of Capricorn. But you know what? It is also the esoteric ruler of Capricorn. So how do we spiral up Saturn in Capricorn? It is, after all, the disciplinarian. And if you're a disciple, you need to find ways to become disciplined. So Saturn teaches us to discipline. It is, in fact, our teacher because it makes you learn the lessons that you need to learn. And if you don't get them right, it's going to give you the lessons yet again and again and again. It is, it measures. So it's like co-measurement. It's there's like the clock, tick, tick, tick. There's a rhythm and a measurement associated with Saturn. And practical groundedness, applicability. Now, because it constrains, it restrains, and it can be allow you to feel deprived because you cannot expand yourself out of those rings that contain you. And it tends to be conservative and cautious. This is not spontaneity. Oh, we just did that, didn't we? So here's some more things on Saturn. Improvement achieved through hardship and endurance. Discipline and a practical approach to life. Moderation, like right measuring of resources, of time, and of energy. Responsibility and accountability. And wisdom gained through experience. So basically, the rings of Saturn act as a ring pass knot. And it basically says what we've just talked about. It grows to be your teacher, your mentor, who with caring and skill teaches the student how to be a good human being. It is only through our experiences that we can then understand life a lot better, understand the choices that we have, what it is that we need to do, and hence become better human beings. It conveys the laws on all levels, and as such teaches us the difference between self-will and the greater will of that which we are a part. Now, this is a depiction by Dwayne Carpenter, and you will see here, if you look, follow here, the ray 1 indicated here, the ray 3 indicated here, and the ray 7 indicated. This is all part of Capricorn. He has depicted the horns, but yet sort of like the tree coming out of the horn, which has to do with earth and the branches within, or the roots within the earth, because it's very earthy. This looks almost like a sword coming down for the first ray, but he's put a five-pointed star here, which would be where the unicorn would come out of. The mantra for the esoteric part of Capricorn is, lost am I in light supernal, yet on that light I turn my back. Very apropos if you consider that it is in Capricorn that one reaches the top of the mountain or initiation. It makes me think always of Moses. Moses is the symbol that we could actually use to think in terms of the Capricorn experience. He went up to the mountaintop. He was initiated. He saw the glory of God. God and he were, united, and he felt God speaking to him. So it's really the monadic experience. And then what did he do? He walked back down. He turned his back on the supernal light and walked down to help humanity, to help others grow and glow. So I think that's it for Capricorn. Any questions? Yeah, any questions on Capricorn before we move on?
I don't see any hands at this point or any questions.
Okay, because it takes a little while to absorb everything that we're saying. But Capricorn is a tremendously important sign for us as we grow and evolve to try to reach initiations. All right, I'm going to move on. And here we are in Aquarius. And Aquarius, believe it or not, has the word aqua in it, and aqua usually means water, and it's known as waters of life, poured forth for thirsty men, and yet it's an air sign. Interesting, isn't it? It's kind of confusing, but at the same time, it is interesting. Waters of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men. What are these waters of life that Aquarius is known for? It is the waters of consciousness. And what do we see here? Does it have here the glyph for it? No, sometimes it shows the glyph, but it's the opposite of Leo. Leo is about self. Aquarius is about group. So you're moving from self-consciousness to group consciousness. And the glyph, unfortunately, which is not here, it'll be on the next one, looks like wavy lines. And wavy lines, again, can look like water. But for Aquarius, we think of them as energy moving through the air currents or electrical currents, much like all our internet stuff is so Aquarian, right? It's all this energy moving through space. So, Aquarius conveys the fifth ray, and Aquarius is known for being a reformer, one that can bring to humanity things that will uplift humanity, things that will make things easier for humanity. That's why it's oftentimes associated with newness, the newness of science. Because after all, it is fifth ray, and fifth ray rules sciences, and it rules the mind because it's the mental plane. So it's all about sciences and how science can bring aid to humanity and help humanity move forward. Uranus is its exoteric ruler. And we covered Uranus when we were looking at Libra. It was the esoteric ruler of Libra. And that brings me to a very interesting point. This is an air sign. If we look at all three air signs, we look at Gemini, we look at Libra, and we look at Aquarius. All these three do not have animals as their symbols. They all have human beings. Gemini has the twins. Libra has the blinded woman holding the scales of justice. And Aquarius has the man holding the pitcher of water that he's pouring forth. Why? Because we are living in a cycle where we, as a humanity, are meant to develop the mind. And each one of these three signs is either ruled with a planet of the mind that either conveys the fifth ray or is the sign that conveys the fifth ray. Why the fifth ray? Because the fifth ray is the ray of the mind. It's the mental plane. So in Gemini, you had Mercury as the exoteric ruler. That's a planet of the mind. You had Venus as the esoteric ruler, and that conveys the fifth ray. The esoteric ruler of Gemini then becomes the orthodox or the exoteric ruler of Libra. So you have the fifth ray of Venus, and Libra's esoteric ruler is Uranus, conveying the seventh ray. Uranus is also a planet of the mind. Then you move Uranus into its exoteric position in Aquarius. So it's the exoteric ruler of Aquarius, and the esoteric is Jupiter. Although neither Jupiter nor Uranus convey the fifth ray, Aquarius conveys the fifth ray. So on all three of these air signs, you have the fifth ray somehow brought into the picture. The plane of mind. Okay, so just going back to some of the characteristics of Uranus, these pictures do depict that. Uranus is radical. So energy from Uranus is always different. It's unusual. It's revolutionary. Here you see the revolutionary. It wants to bring change and freedom and upset the apple cart. And that's why you see the guy upside down with his head down, because it's never the conventional way. It's always spontaneity. It's doing something that is different. Electricity is very much associated with Uranus. And that's why you have the lightning rod, because when Uranus is traveling in space and it affects your chart as a transiting planet, its effect can hit you like a lightning bolt. It can be so unnerving and shake you up, and you don't know from where all of this energy is coming from, or something hits you out of the blue. These are all ways of expressing Uranus. So is there anything else here I want to say about Uranus? Yeah, the only other thing to say is that Uranus, in its orbit around the sun, sort of lies on its side with the head center facing the sun. So you can imagine the amount of energy that penetrates into that particular sign or that particular constellation. It goes directly into the head center. So that's why electricity is so much associated with Uranus. Let me see what else we have here. Yeah, we come to the esoteric ruler of Uranus, and that is Jupiter. And remember what we said about Jupiter when we talked about it in Sagittarius? Jupiter is jovial, and that's why you have the jovial Santa there. It brings joy. It's hopeful. It's the largest planet in our solar system. Nothing compared to the sun, but of the planets is the largest. Hence, you would use adjectives that would convey this largesse. So you would say Jupiter expands, Jupiter amplifies, it makes everything more of. It can make some things you don't want to have more of still be more. Do you understand what I mean? It depends where you find Jupiter. Jupiter in Cancer tends to mean you love to nurture, you love to feed, whether you feed others or you feed yourself. Jupiter expands wherever it is. So it's good natured, it's friendly, beneficent. Many people, when they see where Jupiter is in the chart, will actually say that might be your soul, even though it's not, because it is so expansive, and that's what soul is supposed to be like. Applies love wisely and with wisdom. Very inclusive. So these all speak to second ray, do they not? And that is the ray conveyed by Jupiter. Second ray. Love, wisdom, expanded. So the whole idea, as it finds itself in Aquarius, when we as a humanity will reach that level, is brotherhood, expanding that joy and that love amongst one another. Because the group consciousness, which is so Aquarian, is meant to do that, right? In Leo, it was self-consciousness. In Leo, you stood above the crowd. And in Aquarius, it's total opposite. It is the group. It is the soul group. It is the brotherhood of man. In Leo, Leo represents the heart. In Aquarius, Aquarius represents the flow of the blood within the system. Okay. See, there we have another picture of, yeah, you know what? There's a satellite. Why is there a satellite there? Because that's it. That's something that's technical. And you know, Aquarius is known for that technical, electrical kind of approach to newness, something new, very Aquarian. Even the water poured forth in this particular depiction looks like energy, does it not? Energy. Okay, comments or questions?
You're doing such a good job. Everybody's just comatose. Oh, no.
So why can't I see the group? Attendees, there we go. I lost it again. All right, let me put this back on. Okay, so I'm going to move on, and we're going to go to Pisces. Pisces in Latin are fishes, right? And in this particular picture, we see how the fish are bound together, one going in one direction and the other one going in the other direction. And it is so because it tends to represent the form or the personality going in one direction and the soul going in the other direction. Can you imagine what it would be like if it wasn't tethered and they weren't bound together, so each one is free? That ultimately is the goal in Pisces. So Pisces is water. Pisces finds itself on the mutable cross. Did I mention that Aquarius was on the fixed cross? I don't think I did. I'm letting you know now. Pisces is opposite Virgo. Virgo was about the perfection of the form so that the Christ consciousness could be birthed within the heart. Pisces is about saving humanity and being truly the savior, much like Christ was. In Aquarius, Aquarius was about serving, being the server, and in Pisces, it's about saving other people. So one of the things about Pisces is it's immersed in water. The fishes are immersed in water. And when one is totally immersed in water, can one see clearly? The answer is obvious, no. And hence, many times with all that water, things become mystified without clarity. And life can be a little difficult because very, very few boundaries are there within water. There are no boundaries. So energies from outside can infiltrate and be absorbed by the Piscean, so that the Piscean sometimes has a hard time knowing what is mine and what is someone else's or out there, or what am I getting and what am I receiving. And sometimes it's not obvious, and therefore it can make a little bit give someone a sense of overwhelm and fearfulness, and that's what this particular depiction shows. Worry and fearfulness and overwhelm are good words to describe some of the energies associated with Pisces. And yet, Pisces rules also the sensitivity to emotions, to feelings, to intuitiveness. And as you absorb all of that and it's within you, you can reflect that out to humanity. And oftentimes it's reflected in the arts. So you have a lot of Pisces people, even though some of them could be timid, you have them reflected in theater, in art, and the talent that comes through many Pisceans is enormous. I'm trying to think of some characters, but right now my mind isn't going there. It is ruled by Neptune, the god of the waters. And Neptune conveys the sixth ray, and it conveys the second ray. Pisces was also sixth ray and second ray. So they kind of work very well together. But as I said, it can create fogs, mist. This picture here is supposed to show the lack of clarity. And with this comes confusion, illusion. Many people with strong Neptune in Pisces could have addictive kind of personalities and want to escape reality. So escapism, denial, that which is not formed, so formlessness, tends to have dependence on substances or dependence on others. The sixth ray can do that easily, can it not? When Neptune transits in the heavens and affects your chart, many times it can bring on devitalization. It can actually sap your energy. But on the higher turn of the spiral, it brings to humanity the ideal, that which is transcendent. And, you know, we know that God transcendent, all of religion is basically transcendent. It brings with it creative imagination, artistry, the mystical, the undefined visionary, prophetic. Because it is water, water tends to be quite psychic, visionary. And Neptune, we know, is like the sea. And the sea goes endless and endless and endless. And that's why we can actually say that Neptune carries with it this universal love, this love that goes on and on and on, and is not dependent on someone's personal stuff, whether it's the personality or it's the need to feel connected and all that kind of stuff that we talk about that is emotionalism. So it can be true compassion. Mercy, faith, grace, intuition, understanding. So you can see the mystics in these words here as we describe them. So Neptune works really, really well with Pisces. Now, Neptune, as the ruler of Pisces, tends to be looked at from a societal perspective. Decay, however, tells us that the exoteric ruler of Pisces is really Jupiter. Not that it's not Neptune. Neptune is more societal as it affects humanity on large, but it's Jupiter. So now let's look at Jupiter in Pisces. I wonder if do I have that here? No, I do not. So Jupiter in Pisces, what would that look like? Well, we talked about Jupiter being so second ray and so magnanimous and joyful. And as I said, it could almost be a soul-like quality that comes through Jupiter. You put that with Pisces and you see how the Christ, who was Piscean, represented all those qualities that can be within Pisces, can be the savior, can help humanity. But Jupiter is also about largesse, huge, big, magnifying things. So if you fall under the substance stuff, the addictions, the confusion, the illusion, imagine all of that being magnified by Jupiter. So you can see the downside and the upside with Jupiter as ruler of Pisces. And esoterically, well, let me just see what we have here. We do have here, this is supposed to be a Poseidon or Neptune, god of the sea. These are all just nymphs. And I wonder if this is supposed to be Jupiter. Could be. But they're still bound together. Eventually, they're supposed to be free of that which holds them together. And what will do that? The esoteric ruler of Pisces, which is Pluto. So Pluto is first ray. So you can imagine that sensitive, fearful quality of Pisces being hit hard by its esoteric ruler, Pluto, which is so opposite to what we think of the softness associated with Pisces. He's known as Anubis or Lord Pluto, Lord of the Underworld. And remember, this is in an esoteric placement. So what would it look like esoterically? It would give the Piscean courage, which it needs, right? Having seen some of the sensitivity and some of the weaknesses, it needs the courage. The courage not to die daily. Many natives use that expression, I die daily. And that's what life is like for many Pisceans. Life can be very difficult. Pluto brings with it the process of resurrection, lifting the dead within to life. So it can, Pluto, as we know, is being the Lord of the Underworld, can take that which is hidden, that which isn't seen, and bring it up into the light of day. So one can face their illusions, can face that which might be fearful at first to face it, and give it a death blow. He's known as the Grim Reaper, and so disseminate that which keeps one from reaching the heights that one can reach. Eventually, Pluto brings symbolically death to the personality. So it's death to that which hinders, that which keeps one from moving forward. Yeah, that is it, guys. That is all I have on these 12 magnificent signs. Each one of them is a treasure. Each one of them can be seen for the possibilities within the signs that one can experience and can convey. So before I hand this over to BL, are there any hands up? Or any questions or any comments?
I don't see any.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Let's move on then. I have to tell you this little story as I'm switching everything over here to me. You know, Eva's slides, they're so colorful, and she's got all those pictures in there, and you know, it conveys such a nice way to look at this. Well, now you get me, and I've got that Ray 5, just the facts, ma'am, and I put everything in tables. So Eva is like, BL, will you get a picture or two in there? Well, okay, I'm going to talk to you about the seven rays, and I want you to note, Eva.
Yes, I'm listening.
I have a picture.
Yes.
Of course, I got that picture from you, but anyway, I do have a picture here. So, all kidding aside, you know, throughout our webinars, Eva and I have been talking about the signs, the planets, the seven rays. And we're all going to be, I mean, we're going to be presenting them to you in a variety of relationships and correspondences, because that's what you really need to know. You need to know enough about them, you know, the structure of them and what they do, but you need to know about these relationships. You need to know about the correspondences. So some of this is going to be a repeat, but it's probably going to be in a little different context. So I hope that this helps you understand how that they are all interconnected on multiple levels. Okay, so they come to us, they emanate to our solar system via the seven main stars of the Great Bear, and their local representatives are then the seven sacred planets within our own system. Hey, another picture there, Eva. You know, they have rays that are associated with the planets. Eva's talked to you a little bit about that. Vulcan and Pluto both transmit ray one. Vulcan, the bold one, is the sacred planet. Pluto is not. The Sun and Jupiter both transmit ray two. The Sun is not a sacred planet yet. We're told it's in the process of becoming sacred, but it isn't yet. Jupiter is the sacred ray 2 planet. The Earth and Saturn both transmit ray 3. The Earth is not yet sacred. Saturn is the sacred planet on ray 3. Mercury and the Moon both transmit ray 4. Mercury is the sacred planet. Venus is the only one that transmits ray 5, and it is sacred. Mars and Neptune both transmit ray 6. Neptune is the sacred planet. Mars is not. And Uranus is the only one that transmits ray 7, at least that we know about right now. I want to show you the glyphs. I want to show you the signs and the rulers that are all here. I'm not going to read all of them. You will, of course, get copies of the slides. I told you, I love tables. Anyway, here you go. Aries, ray 1 and 7. Mars, Mercury, Cancer, ray 3 and 7. Moon and Neptune, and so on for all of them. Here's the other ones. Get used to the glyphs. Get used to the rays. Get used to the rulers. Exoteric and esoteric. For Scorpio, Aquarius, and Pisces, we've got two that are listed, and that's because, you know, back before the outer planets were discovered and assigned to the astrological signs, Mars was Scorpio, Saturn was Aquarius, and Jupiter was Pisces. As Eva just told you, there is also an esoteric relationship between Jupiter and Pisces, but it was considered one of the old traditional rulers of Pisces before all of the outer planets were discovered. As I mentioned a little while ago, they are transmitted into our solar system, and they do it via transmitting triangles. It consists of three constellations, aided by the ruling planets, and according to cyclic law, one constellation is going to dominate. The other two are going to take a subordinate role in the triangle. the controlling points of the triangle as we know it right now. Ray 1, Aries, the source of initial energy producing the new age. Ray 2, it's Virgo, produces the increased activity of the Christ principle in humanity's heart. Ray 3, it's Cancer, causes mass movement toward liberty, release, and light. Ray 4, it's Scorpio, the testing of humanity, who is the world disciple. Ray 5, it's Leo, produces individualism and self-consciousness, all very important steps in our soul progress. Ray 6, it's Sagittarius, produces the focused, one-pointed effort of the world aspirant. And Ray 7, Capricorn, which brings us initiation and the overcoming of materialism. There are three rays of aspect. Ray 1, will or power. It's a building, a destroying energy. Its motion is to drive straight forward through space. It is initiating energy, and it expresses the purpose of deity. Ray 2, love, wisdom. It's the most potent of the seven rays, being the ray of our solar logos, and it colors and directs all consciousness in all forms in all kingdoms of nature. It expresses the plan of deity. And then Ray 3, active intelligence. It's more closely linked to matter. It's fertile, adaptable energy that is intelligence found in all substance. It creates the plan and implements it through intelligent activity. The three rays of aspect. The one life first differentiated into this divine triplicity. Spirit, consciousness, and form. They embody the will and purpose of the Logos. They're the expression during manifestation of the egoic aspect of the solar logos, and they have relatively long cycles. Their measure is occultly slow, it's cumulative in effect, and their momentum steadily increases. Here they are in picture form. I drew these pictures. Ray 1. Aries, Leo, and Capricorn, Vulcan, and Pluto. Ray 2, Gemini, Virgo, and Pisces. Down here, Jupiter and the Sun are the rulers. And Ray 3, active intelligence, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, with Saturn and the Earth. Then we've got the four rays of attribute, qualified by characteristics of Ray 3, which eventually synthesizes them. So Ray 4 is harmony through conflict. It demonstrates the beauty within the plan. Ray 5 is concrete knowledge and science. It reveals through light and knowledge the mystery that we call life. Ray 6 is devotion and idealism. It recognizes the glory of the divine. And Ray 7, it's ceremonial order and magic. It manifests the divine in form in accordance with the plan. They're the quality and character of the solar logos, an embodiment of his personality aspect. They have briefer cycles than the rays of aspect did. They produce a steady heartbeat and a regular rhythm in our solar system. I just love that mental picture there. Generally considered to be subordinate to Ray 3, but they actually have relationships to all of the rays of aspect. And here they are, little pictures of them. Ray 4, Taurus, Scorpio, and Sagittarius, ruled by Mercury and the Moon. 5, Leo, Sagittarius, and Aquarius, Venus is the sacred and only ruler. Ray 6, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces, the rulers Neptune and Mars. And Ray 7, ceremonial order and magic. Aries, Cancer, and Capricorn is the main one. Only ruler is Uranus. Okay, I'm not going to go through all of these. There's a lot of them. Like I said, you're going to get the slide. It's important, though, for you, in my humble opinion, to have this information. Of course, it comes from esoteric psychology. I've got the site down here. But, I mean, I personally, like I said, I love lists. I love checklists. I love spreadsheets. I like to go through and say, okay, I have some of these special virtues, not all of them, so I need to work on this, 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 and this. Vices, oh yeah, I got a couple of those. Hey, wait a minute, I don't do this anymore. And so then it gives me a little roadmap of where I've been, what I'm working on, and what I still need to perfect. So I hope that you find that useful. Ray lines. Rays 1 and 7, they're closely allied, and Ray 3 is a linking one between them, so that we've got that 1-3-7 ray line. Ray 5 forms a connecting link of the mind and intelligence. These rays deal with concrete issues and the functioning of matter and form from the lowest point to the highest via mental activity and the mental plane. Rays 2, 4, and 6, they're closely allied, creating that 2-4-6 ray line. These rays, they deal with the abstract, with love, devotion, beauty, art, harmony, and spiritual expression through the medium of form. Ray groups, I'm not so sure you can see that. I can't get this any bigger. And if I get it any smaller, it'd be way too small. Anyway, the hard ray lines, this ray line and this one, they're both part of the hard ray lines. Power rays are will, ray 1, and ceremonial order and magic, ray 7. Those are the power that represents spirit, intelligence. They're the thinking hard lines, ray 3, intelligent activity, and ray 5, the concrete mind and science. Then we've got the feeling emotional, the soft ray lines, ray 2, love, wisdom, ray 4, harmony through conflict, and ray 6, idealism and devotion. They each have specific gifts that they bring to us. Ray 1, to liberate or to free. Ray 2, to illumine. The third ray conveys the mind of God, and it gives concept to form. Ray 4, at one-ment or to unify. Ray 5, to reveal. Ray 6, to uplift or to redeem. And Ray 7, to bring to form. Some of them complement each other. 1 and 4, both principled. 1, 2, and 3 are both all about the truth. 2 and 5 about conveying light. 2, 3, 5, mental. 3 and 4, motion. Relational, 2, 3, and 4, wholes. 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, like to see the big picture. Parts, get into the detail. 3, 4, and 5. They have opposite behaviors of some of them. Ray 1, isolation and fearlessness. Ray 2, inclusive and sensitive. Ray 2, wise, slow action. Ray 3, busyness and speed as they do things. Ray 3, calculating. Ray 4, honesty. Ray 4, emotionalism. Ray 5, lack of emotion. Ray 5, concrete mentalism. Ray 3, a flexible mind. Ray 1, direct. Ray 3, very circulatory there. Ray 2, smothering love. And Ray 1, independence. Again, I'm not going to go through all of these. You will have the slides, but these are the Ray 1 personality expressions. Ray 2, Ray 3. A lot of good information in here as to these different kinds of expressions. And here are the other ones. I always keep this stuff handy. So, you know, I have a reminder, can go through and again, like I did before with the other lists, the vices and the virtues, go through and say, okay, yeah, I do this, I do this, I do that. Oops, on this negative list, I need to cut out this, this, and that. And then we have the soul expression of the rays. This is the higher level. We go through many, many incarnations specifically for the purpose of experiencing and learning through that experience and raising that personality expression to the soul expression. So these are what we're aiming for when we're learning with these particular rays. The rays themselves, all of course, have very specific purposes, and there is nothing inherently good or inherently bad in any of their expression. It's how we express that energy that makes it good or bad. Here are some strengths and weaknesses again in just a little different format than what we looked at them before. Okay, so here's the strengths, the weaknesses combined with the signs this time here. So the personality, Aries, the power and will of the warrior leader, the power and will of the king for Leo, and the power and will of the executive for Capricorn. The soul qualities, power used in spiritual leadership and intelligent initiative in Aries, spiritual power and love used in spiritual leadership in Leo, and power used in wide spiritual governorship and rule in Capricorn. So see the relationship here between the way they're using that will or power. And again, I'm not going to read every single one of them, but you can see, you know, Cancer, intelligent with family matters and security. Libra, intelligent in avoiding conflict to maintain the peace. Capricorn, intelligent in achieving ambitions. These are the personality levels, the soul qualities. Intelligent, intuitive, nurturing, protection of the masses. The wise and intelligent arbiter of law. Mediatorship in Libra, and the highly intelligent executive of God's plan in Capricorn. So I hope that you find these very helpful when you have a chance to look at the greater picture. As I said, it's just presenting the material in a little different way, but I think that that's important because you see the relationships that happen and how the devotion and idealism is divided by sign here for us. Okay, before I move on to the next slide, are there any questions? See, I've got a mesmerized too. Either that or they're all comatose still. Do I have too many tables here? Another picture. Okay. This time I'm going to show you the rays again, but I want to try and give you a vivid picture. Eva, yes, you're rubbing off on me. Okay. We have a lot of sevens, the 7 days, musical notes, colors, chakras, glands, wonders of the world, states of consciousness, the deadly sins. That isn't coincidence. This is an important number, and it shows up for us in a variety of ways. I'm going to talk a little bit now about the soft ray lines. 2, 4, and 6. Ray 2, the energy of attraction. It's round, radiatory, magnetic, receptive. The quality, attraction, inclusion, cohesion, illumination. Country, Brazil, it's the personality. It's the soul of the U.S. and the soul of Great Britain. Institutions of Ray 2, just what you would expect. Schools, universities, hospitals, healing centers, the Red Cross. Vocations, teaching, psychology, psychotherapy, human resources, nursing, rehabilitation. There are two distinct types, the love type and the wisdom type. It softens, it's kindness, it's sensitivity, it's charm, it's inclusiveness. The 2A, the heart emphasis, the power to heal, to save, to redeem. And the 2B, the wisdom side, the power to teach, to illumine, and a love of pure truth. Selfish traits can be too attached, non-assertive, self-pitying, love of comfort. 2A, too fearful, hypersensitive, and impressionable. 2B, overabsorbed in study, scorns mental limitations in others. See if I can move this up a little bit. Oops. I guess I got that.
BL, at the top of your presentation, you have show slides. Why don't you hit that and then just move the arrow, and this way you'll get the whole picture. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. I don't do that because I like to watch the my dashboard, but you're right. I can watch my dashboard on the other one. So there's that better. There you go. Okay. So the influence of Ray 2 is our soul ray, our personality ray, or our emotional ray. There. Thanks, Eva. You're right. Weaknesses from the love side, love of being loved, oversensitivity and vulnerability, lack of self-confidence, cautious, overprotective, over-inclusive, might have boundary issues, self-pity, attachment to comfort zones. From the wisdom side, over-absorption in study, intellectual pride. The love types, the Dalai Lama, Princess Di, Mother Teresa, Carl Jung. The wisdom types, the Buddha, Oprah. Positive Ray 2 traits, that calm strength, patience, faithful, serene temperature, serene temper, intelligent. And again, it influences the soul, the personality, or emotional rays, vehicles. Ray 4, harmony through conflict. It's a reflection of Ray 2. It's unifying, it's associative, it's oscillating, and it's linking energy. The quality, equilibrium, at one-ment, peace, and drama. Country, Italy, it's personality. India, personality. The soul of Germany, the soul of Austria, and the soul of Brazil. Institutions, the United Nations, peacekeeping, art galleries. Vocational tendencies, mediation, resolution, social work, humanities, the arts, decorations, diplomat, peacemaking, drama, entertainment, lots of them. Distinction between the Ray 4 types. Type A, the ability to bring harmony from conflict, sensitive to discord. Type B, that's the colorful character, strong contrasts, artistic, volatile, tends to force things. Emotional, intuitive, warriorship, grows through constant agonizing crises after crises after crises, struggle. Bridging tendencies, conflict, harmony, love of beauty, and drama. Negative traits, emotionalism, constant inner-outer conflict, unregulated passions, fighting just for the sake of fighting. I have a husband like that. Combative, exaggeration, procrastination. Ray 4 can influence the soul, the personality, or the mind, the mental ray. Weaknesses. There's a lot. They all have their weaknesses. Self-absorbed in suffering and the drama of it. Worry, agitation, indecision, lack of confidence. Absorbs too much. Unpredictable, unreliable. Overeager for compromise. Inertia. Procrastination. Exaggeration and overly dramatic. Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Sally Field, Judy Garland, Andrew Lloyd Webber, Billy Connolly. Positive traits, affection, sympathy, courage, generosity, perception, intelligence, humor. Ray 6, another reflection of Ray 2. It's uplifting energy, intense, one-pointed, unswerving. Quality, loyalty, humility, sacrifice, faith, optimism. Country, it's our personality ray in the U.S. Russia's personality ray, it's the soul ray of Italy. Institution, charities, United Way, religions, Peace Corps, activism. Motivational speakers, personal trainers. We've got a couple of the bad ones here. KKK, Spanish Inquisition, political campaigns, good and bad, jihad, sports teams, vocational tendencies, promotions, fundraising, charity, motivational speakers, religious work, coaching, cheerleading, crusading, the clergy. Two different distinct types between Ray 6. Type A, receptive, passive, loyal, tranquil, worshipful, gentle influence. Type B, it's that zeal, devoted, striving towards the ideals, strong aspirations. It's the aggressive side. Intense emotional feeling, self-sacrificial ardor, loyal, faithful, pure, good, idealism, bravery, freedom, the bleeding heart, the faithful dog, the crusader. I love this. Look at that. I hope you can see that really good. Negative traits, selfish, jealous, blind faith, gullible, rigid devotion, idealism, glamored, self-abusing, fiery anger, fanatical, a victim, a martyr, can be cruel. Ray 6 will influence the soul, the personality, and the emotional ray. Weaknesses of devotion. Just blind devotion without independent thought. Blind faith, fanaticism, self-righteous. Codependent, absolutism, everything is black or right, right or wrong, my truth, no other truth, gullible, overtrusting, emotional, jealous love, the idealism side, unattainable goals, lack of realism, impracticality, self-negation, self-criticism, needing to always measure up, denial, escapism, including various different types of addiction, unwise susceptibility to guidance, extremism, hyperintensity, overdoing, too much activity, masochism, the martyr complex. Martin Luther King, Billy Graham, and of course, Jesus. Positive traits, that love, that tenderness, intuition, reverence, devotion, and strength. And again, it influences the soul, the personality, and the emotional or astral ray. All right, before I move on to the hard lines, does anybody have any questions about the soft, squishy lines? Yes. Okay. Please go ahead, Michael.
Hi, DL. I found it quite interesting that you included the dog, a picture of a dog for Ray 6, which dogs are so devotional. But cats could have been pictured for Ray 4.
Because they are so temperamental and dramatic. Yeah, you're right.
Cats are on Ray 4.
I'm new to this, you know. Add some pictures to your slides, BL.
So you're doing a great job, both of you. I appreciate the opportunity to rehash all this, and it's always good to go through it again and again.
Thanks, Michael.
You know, Michael, it's Eva here. I've often thought of cats as Ray 3. They are very clever. They can be very, very sly. They can, you know, maneuver in a particular way. So I tend to think of them as Ray 3.
I recall something. I can't say where, but I think the Tibetan says they're fourth Ray.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. I'm definitely thinking about that.
I think they can go both ways.
Well, you know,
it depends on the cat.
We carry all these within us to some extent or another.
That's true. That's true. And, of course, Ray 4 is the animal kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
No. Ray 3. Ray 3.
Yeah.
The animal kingdom.
Yeah.
Ray 4 is human.
Yep. You're right. Okay. I need
Thank
to go back and
much.
Look at my slides again. Thank you, Michael. Okay. On to the power lines, unless anybody has any to the hard lines, the 1 and 7 for the power and 3 and 5 for the mind rays. 1, willpower. It's strong, direct, forward moving, it's piercing. The quality is essence, purpose, centralization, synthesis. Country, it's the personality ray of Germany, personality ray of Great Britain. It's the soul ray of India. Institutions, governmental, politics, military, police, any kind of empire. Vocations, politicians, CEOs, kings, dictators, military, authority, government, law enforcement, construction, demolition. Distinctions between the two different types. Type A, it's persistent. They never give in. They're depended on by others. And type 2 destroys conditions which prevent free expression of the life force. So one is the will. One is the power. It hardens. It gives strength. It's the power to rule, truthfulness, fearlessness. It's the law, the dictator, the king, the sword, the volcano. selfish, unrelenting ambition, arrogance, pride. They're power hungry. They're cold hearted. They're controlling. They're bullying. It influences the soul, the personality, and the mental ray. Weaknesses. Destructive, unnecessary, or inhumane. Anger, violence, hardness, cruelty. Control, impatient, obstinate. Excessive pride, separative, arrogant, willful. Strengths. Steadfast, courage, the power to rule. Like the little bulldog there. Winston Churchill, Roosevelt, Dr. Phil, and Abraham Lincoln. It influences the soul, the personality, the mental ray, as I said. Ray 7 is a reflection of Ray 1. It's rhythmic, cyclic, organizing and building energy. Quality is order, transformation, manifestation, formality, ritual. Countries, it's the personality for Spain and the soul for Russia. Institution, courts of law. Architecture, ecology, conservation, the Sierra Club. Vocations, organizer, administrator, management, building design, craftsman, construction, architecture, choreography, dance, judge, beautician, city planner. Distinctions between the two types. Type A, highly organized, plays by the rules, meticulous in action. And type B, emphasis on the creative process, manifests ideas into forms. It's creative. Strong, self-reliant, courteous, disciplined, a natural ritualist. The power to organize, to implement the law, and to perfect the form. Standardization, order. The magician. I like to think that I am very organized and very ordered, and that I like my rhythm and my routine. And so I'm on the order side of Ray 7, and that I have absolutely no ceremonial magic in me at all. And I was called on that the other day when I was talking to Francis about it, and he said, that in itself, BL, is a form of ritualism. I'm like, okay, you got me there. My magic is my order. I guess it was the moral to that story. Negative traits. Pride, a snob, superficial judgment based on appearance, bigotry, sectarian. They force the rules on everybody. Excessive perfectionism, pompous ritual, addicted to occult phenomena. This will influence the soul ray, the personality ray, or the physical ray. Weaknesses, rigid orderliness, subservient to habit. Okay, guilty as charged. Crystallization, overly rigid, structured, not spontaneous, not adaptable. Conformity, likes the status quo. Over-concerned with rules, regulations, and the dead letter of the law. Hard to change their patterns. Compulsive, obsessive, addicted to patterns. Excessive perfectionism of the form. Judgment based on appearance. Dark magical arts. Then we have the good side. All these very strong, positive strength, perseverance, courage, courtesy, Freemasonry, magician, the queen, the president, the beautiful women who made a mark in the world just by being who they were and what they did. Hold on. Got a question here. Thanks, Joe. Joe says she would have thought that I was a white magic practitioner. Nope, not even. But thanks. Okay, before I move on to the mind raises, are there any questions on the power raise? Okay, thanks. The third ray, active intelligence. It's rotary motion, it's circuitous, it's weaving, it's adaptive, it's multiplicity, it's creativity, it is activity. It's the personality ray for China, the personality ray for France, the institutions, banks, financial institutions, stock market, advertising, the internet, vocations, philosophy, academia, business, finance, entrepreneur, advertising, lawyer, salesman, astronomer, linguist, strategist, mathematician. Like every other way, Ray, there are two distinct types to it. Type A is the philosopher, the theorist, emphasis on abstract ideas. Type B is the business acumen. It's practical, it's manipulative, it's gamesmanship. So here we see some images that I hope will convey. The spider there in the middle weaving his web. We have the web here. It's concretization of money, which is why all the financial institutions. It's the slick car dealer trying to pull one over on you. It is mental. It is creative. And it's all these patterns. Imagine them whirling in on themselves. It is adaptable, very mentally fertile, very versatile. Negative traits, intellectual pride, inaccuracy, absent-minded, con artists, devious, manipulative, hyperactive, excessive thought without practical action. It influences the soul ray, the personality ray, the physical ray, and it can represent the mental ray for disciples. It is not normally one of them considered for the mental ray. A lot of weaknesses, like they all have. Can be very critical. Vague, overly complex thought, excessive thinking without that practical action, confusion, absent-minded, hyperactive, tendency to be scattered or spread too thin, inaccuracy in practical detail, they can be careless with that, manipulative and calculated, opportunistic, materialistic, devious, deceitful, circumventing the truth. They can be chameleon-like. Clever in business. They can have brilliant intellects. Wide views, sincerity of purpose, concentration, patience, caution. And they don't worry over trifles. Quite a difference from what we just saw on the negative, right? We've got quite a few really good examples here of the higher workings of Ray 3. Ray 5, concrete mind, a reflection of that third ray. Yeah, I was going to say, that's supposed to look orange. Does on one of my computers, not on the other. It's separating energy, dissecting, linear, probing, clarifying and illuminating. The quality, it's specificity, very specific. Discrimination, lucidity, okay, I can't talk today. It's detached inquiry and it's experimentation. Countries, France, it's their soul, and Austria's personality. Institution, of course, you're going to see. Universities, research institutions, NASA, the Salk Institute, post office, the pharmacy, medicine, technology, engineering. Vocation, science, research, lab workers, applied math, inventors, technicians, accountants, mechanics, that kind of thing. Distinctions between the two different types. The researcher, the intellectual, descriptive accuracy, documentation, and clarity. And then the technician, the technical intelligence, practical in the application. It's intelligent love, according to DK. He tells us that Ray 5 is where man learns to use all acquired knowledge of the form divine in such a way that the inner life is served and the outer form becomes magnetic expression of that divine life. That's why it's the ray of intelligent love above all else. Negatives, ultra-rational, arrogant, separative, prejudiced, lacks empathy, controls through knowledge, can be colorless and socially awkward. Just the facts, man. And, you know, the mad scientist here, the experimentation. We saw a lot of that going on, and let's just hope we don't see too much more of it. Weaknesses, like they all have, overly analytical, undeviating linearity, requires proof in matter to believe something. They have excessive doubt and skepticism, harsh criticism, a narrowness and a prejudice. They have rigid thought patterns, excessive objectivity, lack of intuitive sensitivity, lack of emotional response and magnetism, and as we said before, can be socially awkward. That scientific mind, the Curies, Tim Berners-Lee, he created the World Wide Web. The light bulb, penicillin, ray 5 influences the soul ray, the personality ray, and the mental ray. Positive traits, accuracy, perseverance, common sense, independent, and that keen intellect. Okay. Well, I had a lot of slides there, but I went through them very quickly. I hope not too quickly, because that's going to be it for today. What I want to do is, at our next webinar on 7 April, I want to pick up with a discussion about our Ray vehicles. And then I'm going to talk to you about the various parts of the environment of our chart. This is all important parts. Pieces that we want you to understand, that we want you to consider when we actually begin delineating our charts later on in this series. So I went through it pretty fast. Is there any questions or anything that you would like me to go back over before we call it a day?
There's some comments that are under the questions.
Right, I see him. I'm looking at him. Victoria okay. Says, Seven Rays of Life, page 147. Dog is Ray 2, cat is Ray 3, horse is Ray 6, elephant Ray 1. Actually, you know, I had animals in there too. I skipped over that because there was a lot. But yeah, thank you, Victoria, for pointing that out. Bibi, as for astrology, since I have no knowledge at all, we are supposed to study conventional astrology as well. In that case, which kind of astrology, Vedic or Western, for example? We use, and DK uses, Western astrology, okay? The Vedic astrology is the Indian astrology, and it's a completely different system than what it is that we use. There is a lot of value in that system, but it isn't something that we're working with. What we want to know is, we want to know traditional astrology relationships, and we want to know esoteric relationships and how they interact together, because we are a personality in form working out our life, and we're a soul inside that form working out the lessons of the soul, and both of those need to work together, hopefully. And so we need to understand how the outer mundane energies impact our inner life and how they relate. So that's why we need to know both of it. But those of you in Great Quest, you have an astrology booklet. Those of you in Quest Universal, there's an astrology booklet in Course 150. So, and again, we're giving you these slides. So, hopefully we're giving you the tools that you're going to need.
It's worth mentioning that we are covering both the exoteric astrology and the esoteric astrology. We put them both together, but it is important to know how it affects our personality, how astrology affects our personality, so then we can then move on to understanding the esoteric side of it.
And Catherine says, thanks for making the slides available. Yeah, of course, you're right. There is so much information, and we don't expect you to try and memorize it. And we'd be here forever if we, you know, went line by line and took time. So yes, these are valuable handouts for you. From Helen, thank you. Yeah, many nights of study in the future. Oh, yeah. And when we take our break after the April one, I'm going to give you guys homework, because you are going to participate with us in delineating your charts. Okay. Would it be true to say Eva is presenting the Ray 2 love side and BL presents the Buddha side? well, I actually think of it more as her presenting the Ray 4 side and me presenting the Ray 5 side. But yeah.
Interesting.
We both have Ray 2, so sure. That definitely.
Yes.
So, good observation, Ellen. Okay, any more questions or hands up? I don't see any hands or anything. All right, well, then I want to thank you for sticking with us for this webinar, and I hope to see you guys again on 7 April. Good night, everybody.
Good night, and thank you.
Let me unmute everybody really quick just to, so you can all say good night.
A very large thank you.
Thank
you.
You're
very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Good night.
Good night, and thank you for attending.
Good night. Michael, yeah, there you go. Okay,
yep. Good night. Good night to everyone.
Good night,
thank
everybody.
Thank you, BL and Eva.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, BL. Well done.
Thank you, Eva. See you next time.
So when I turn this off,